This is a pretty heavy subject here today. I'm going to need you to hold my hand and walk me through some of this, okay?
We will walk it through it. And look, if I let go of your hand, you just grab onto it again and we'll have another go.
That's comforting.
Yeah, it is. That was the voice of George Musser Jr., by the way. He is a contributing editor at Scientific American and a contributing writer at Quantum Magazine. Has also written some books, one of them called Putting Ourselves Back in the Equation, and another one called Spooky Action at a Distance. He's into this sort of thing, and he helped us out with a very tricky topic that you picked out for us this week, Lauren, the multiverse.
Yes, that is on me. I'm fascinated with the multiverse, even if I don't quite understand it. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk about it on the show. I wrote up this article recently about what Google calls a new mind-boggling computer chip. Parmat Nevin, founder and lead of Google Quantum AI, said in a blog post about this new chip called Willow that it lends credence to the notion that quantum computation occurs in many parallel universes in line with the idea that we live in a multiverse. This blew my mind.
Dun, 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 dun. And listen, if you need help parsing out what that means, you're not alone. So Musser's going to help us break it down. You just heard from Lauren, one of our producers. I'm your host, Mike Rogers, and this is Something Offbeat.
Tell me about what the whole concept behind a multiverse.
Yeah, so this is a super, super interesting concept and implication of many areas of modern physics. The one Hartmut is talking about, Hartmut Nevin at Google is talking about, is quantum mechanics and specifically quantum computers. But you also get this multiverse concept in cosmology and other domains as well. So the basic idea is that the universe is not a universe. It's not one universe. It's parallel universes. It's maybe an infinity of parallel universes. We see one of them, obviously, the one around us with the Earth, the Sun, and the other worlds in it. But maybe there are other universes. And, you know, it's something that comes out in science fiction a lot. And now it seems to be in science, too.
Would multiple universes mean multiple timelines then?
Exactly. So that's another way of thinking about it, is that every event that takes place in the world can take place in multiple different ways. Like if you flip a coin heads, maybe in another universe it came out tails. And those two eventualities or timelines will play out independently.
So I can grasp the idea of the multiverse, sort of. And I'm not terrible with computers, but I'm no expert. I still get a feeling of cold dread in my heart whenever my laptop wants to update, because it reminds me of this time when I lost my whole iTunes library back in high school.
No, didn't have it backed up, did you? And by the way, I still have an iTunes library myself. Full confession. And yes, I know about Spotify and I have an account and I use it all the time, but I could never bring myself to give up that iTunes library.
It's nice to own them yourself. So I have to admit, the idea that Nevin brought up about this computer chip lending credence to parallel universes, it surprised me.
And Musser says that it's a little more complicated than it might seem.
How does this experiment in quantum computing back up the notion of a multiverse?
Yeah, so I can tell you Nevin's claim. I actually don't agree with that, and we'll put that off to the side for a moment. But here's the basic idea. These quantum computers that Google and the other big tech companies are building, I just visited one called Xanadu, a company called Xanadu up in Canada a couple of weeks back. And they're really, for certain kinds of mathematical problems, certain kinds of computations, super, super powerful. And from that quote, it would take an ordinary computer, you know, I don't even know what septillions are and 10 to the whatever, 10 to the 25 years to accomplish what these computers do in a matter of minutes. That's not true of all the problems they can solve, but it's certainly true of certain kinds of problems. So the claim is, well, look, if we can't run those problems on an ordinary computer in the lifetime of the universe. Maybe that means there must be multiple universes, that somehow these computers are harnessing the power of billions upon billions of other universes out there and then consolidating the result in our universe.
And you're not on board with that. Why?
Well, I see the intellectual force of the multiverse idea. And maybe it's true. Maybe it's true that we need all these other universes. But this is a debate that's been going on since the days of Einstein and you know, over a century. What explains quantum physics? It's a very counterintuitive theory. It has these incredibly powerful computers, for example, that shouldn't be there. And there's multiple explanations for that, one of which is the multiverse idea. But there's other approaches too. So I think I'm agnostic on it, basically. I don't think we're ready to say it's one or the other.
Quantum computing, what could we use that for? What would we need that for? I mean, do we need it?
Yeah, I think we, humanity, whatever, or if you're doing certain kinds of computations, would need that. And I think probably in 15 years, I'll pick that number out, make a prediction, 15 years from now, you will have a quantum processing unit, a QPU, as a feature of your regular. So right now, a computer has a graphics processing unit that's used for gaming. It's also used for AI computations. And it has a CPU, a central processing unit, which is the kind of real guts of the machine. And there's other PUs that are out there, but quantum would be yet another one. It would do specialized kinds of computations in mathematics, such as factorizing numbers. You know, 25 is 5 times 5, that sort of thing. It could figure that out super fast. And it doesn't do graphics that well, so you would need the GPU still for that. But for certain kinds of things, you'd have a QPU.
It makes AI seem like stone tablets.
Yeah, I mean, stone tablets have a lot to go for them. They stay around a while, so I wouldn't just our stone tablets. So, but in all seriousness, I think there's a role for all these kinds of units. You can't run a computer without a CPU, even though you want the GPU for graphics, right? So, likewise, it's going to be you still need a CPU, still need your GPU, but now you want your quantum processing unit to do those kinds of quantum processing tasks.
With regards to quantum computing, it's in these incredibly powerful computers, what are the applications going forward? What could these be used for?
Yeah, and I think the big one people talk about is cryptography, specifically decrypting messages. So one way that HTTPS, you know, the little S in your browser bar, that S means it's encrypted, and it's encrypted using a code. That code could be broken by a quantum computer and probably will be. And so all the governments of the world, all the corporations, banks are super worried about this because their secrets could come out if these codes could be broken. All the encrypted emails could spill out and all that. So that's the big application. And believe me, those enterprises are already trying to find new code systems that will resist this. So that's the biggie. Another one that doesn't get talked about as much, but is also, I think, important is search. Searching the information on your computer, looking for the files you want and so forth could be sped up by a quantum processing unit. Not as dramatically as cryptography. Cryptography is the biggie here, but search could also benefit.
Is this something that's going to be available to most of us in our lifetimes?
Well, it depends on your lifetime, right? But yeah, I would say my daughter, she's 21. I think she'll see this. I hope I'm 59. I hope I'll see it too. But as I said, I would put this, I mean, it's always hard to make predictions, right? I put this at least 10 years out because this Google device is extremely powerful, extremely capable, but it's still 100 odd bits of data, not gigabits, not gigabytes, just they're down in the bits range at this point. So that needs to scale up by just, you know, a billion times before they can pull this off.
Another reason that I wanted to cover this is that I've recently been getting the most out of my Disney Plus subscription, watching all of these Marvel movies about the multiverse. But I also love other movies and shows that tap into this concept, from Doctor Who to Back to the Future. Lately, I've been really enjoying the Spider-Man multiverse ones, though. Do you have a favorite?
It's really anything related to time travel, which actually it kind of ties into this, because if there are multiple universes, there would have to be multiple timelines too, right? And that leads into counterfactuals, which we're going to get to in a minute. So that would be like, what if Germany had won World War II? Things like that. Any movie dealing with any of those sorts of things, man, I'm in.
Same. Fascinating. And we asked Musser, too, what his favorite movie on this concept is.
First of all, there's a million of them, right? Mm-hmm. I would say my favorite's a bit old school. It's the movie Sliding Doors.
For anyone interested, that's the 1998 film featuring Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think that's pretty true to how this actually kind of works out. There's a random decision point. You follow out what happens, and then ultimately things get united at the end. And I think if you watch the movie and you understand that kind of movie, you've understood half of quantum mechanics right there.
So if not this, what would be a better experiment that might back up the theory of the multiverse?
Yeah, this is, you put your finger on this one, you put your finger on that third rail here. This is a tough one because one reason that the debate's going on for so long is the physicists were having a problem coming up with an experiment that can pick these things apart. So there are some explanations. For example, there's like negative experiments you could disprove the multiverse. You couldn't strictly prove it. Proof is always a difficult concept in science to begin with, but you could disprove it. For instance, if you were to find that some of these quantum features that make the computer powerful, we call them things like superposition, entanglement, doesn't matter what those are, but those are the features. If you were to find that they petered out, there would be a situation where those features ceased to exist, maybe because the system was too big, then that would be a disproof of the multiverse because you kind of need those things to justify a multiverse. And then the other way to go at it is you look at those other explanations I was talking about and you go down the list of them and they make predictions. So you start to say, well, are those predictions satisfied? And if ever one of those were proved, then the multiverse would kind of fall into disfavor.
How did you become interested in this? Was it lots of science fiction, time travel movies?
Oh, yeah. I just eat those things up. I really love my science fiction. I really just going back when I was a kid. But, you know, it's even deeper than that, right? Science fiction is expressing a general human wonderment at why do things turn out the way they do and they didn't turn out some other way, right? When I flipped that coin, why is it heads? Why didn't it come out tails? So one answer to that is it actually does come out all those possibilities, but they're in different multiverse, different parallel universes or different aspects of our own universe that we can't directly access. So it's kind of understanding counterfactuals. You know, people read about counterfactual histories. Did so-and-so win the war instead of the ultimate victor, that sort of thing. And this is in that line. It's trying to figure out what if. It's a what if scenario kind of game we can play.
What if we do prove the existence of multiverses, different universes, and we figure out a way to hop from one to the other? Would you do it?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one, right? You got to pick your poison here. You got to be careful that you're not getting yourself in trouble.
It might be a one-way trip.
That's just it. So you know, maybe stick with the devil you know on this one. You know, we all have regrets about our lives and wish the world were different in this way and that way, but you're rolling the dice if you go to another universe. I wouldn't do it for a one-way trip. Two-way trip, yeah, I might do it. I'd like to poke my head in and see what it's like.
Just like the explorers, right?
Exactly.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, and audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Better keep listening. Subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, tell us about it. You can reach us at SomethingOffbeat@Odyssey.com.